We've recently changed our risk rating for the Kurdistan region of Iraq after undertaking a review of the security there. Coming up, we'll be telling you what's changed and helping you to understand how we made those assessments. Hello and welcome to this Global Situation podcast from International SOS, the leading health and security risk management business. I'm Chris Giles. Well, joining me for this episode is our lead security analyst, Polina Vinogradova, who's recently returned from Iraq. And I started by asking her to tell me about the security environment in the Kurdistan region of Iraq and explain how the stability of the area has been affected by regional developments.
Sure, Chris. So, security environment in Kurdistan region continues to be influenced by a number of factors. Some of them are external, such as attacks on US interests, Turkey's military operations in the north, as well as periodic cross-border attacks by Iran. Other factors are domestic and are linked to economic and political challenges faced by the region. The key outcome of the country trip that we have recently conducted to the Kurdistan region was the decision to reevaluate the region's risk rating. So specifically, we decided to expand the high-risk zone in areas bordering Turkey and Iran. So right now, we rate areas within 25 miles or 40 kilometers of the Turkish border and 19 miles or 30 kilometers of the Iranian border in the Kara region as high-risk.
So what's prompted this decision?
So this is due to the risks posed by Turkish military operations targeting the militant Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, their strongholds in the border areas, as well as risk of cross-border strikes from Iran targeting Iranian Kurdish groups based in Kurdistan region. So just to give a little bit of context, over the years, Turkey launched a number of military operations against PKK in the Kurdistan region. These operations allow Turkey to establish and strengthen its military presence in KR by deploying its troops, maintaining military bases and posts, concentrating primarily in the northern part of the region. Over time, Turkey also gradually expanded its military operations geographically, affecting areas further into KR's territory. And similarly, Iran has used cross-border strikes and artillery fire to target Iranian Kurdish groups that have maintained presence on the Kar side near the border with Iran, particularly in the Kandil Mountains. So basically, the areas most affected by Turkish and Iranian strikes are within 25 miles of the Turkish border and roughly 19 miles of the Iranian border, which we now rate as high risk.
So, Polina, how about the rest of the region? What's the current security environment there like?
The rest of the region, including major urban centers such as Erbil, Sulaymaniyah, and Duhok, remain medium-risk areas. Kurdish security forces maintain robust capabilities, which allow them to mitigate risks associated with crime, militancy, and unrest across the Kurdistan region. That being said, we see how a number of actors, particularly in a period of heightened tensions, resort to airstrikes in the medium-risk areas to meet their strategic objectives. These actors include Turkey, Iran, and pro-Iranian armed groups based in Iraq. It is worth noting, however, that such attacks are much less frequent compared to the situation in the border areas, and they are targeted. By that, we mean such attacks affect specific targets, such as Kurdish armed groups positions in the medium-risk areas or US bases. So such attacks typically do not pose a threat to commercial interests in the region.
And you've touched upon attacks on US interests in the region. We've seen a spike in such attacks in that area and more broadly across the country since October last year. So what's the situation like now?
So actually, there has been a lull in attacks on US bases across Iraq, not only in the Kurdistan region, following the retaliatory strikes that US conducted beginning February across Syria and Iraq, targeting pro-Iranian groups' positions across these two countries. That was in response for the attack on the military outpost in Jordan, where U.S. troops were based, and the attack resulted in U.S. casualties. So U.S. conducted retaliatory strikes targeting the group's positions deemed responsible for this attack. And since then, we essentially have seen a lull in the attacks on U.S. bases in both Iraq and Syria. That being said, there's still a risk of these attacks resuming across Iraq and also resuming across the Kurdistan region, because Kurdistan region hosts U.S. troops near the airport, Erbil International Airport. There's another U.S. base in Erbil Gonrads, Erbil also hosts US embassy. So there is a potential for attacks on US interests to reemerge, because in the first place, these attacks have been linked to developments between Israel and Hamas in the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict. So these attacks can resume in response to those developments, basically.
And Polina, what would be our recommendations for travelers to the Kurdistan region?
So travel to Kurdistan region can proceed with standard security precautions. We do advise travelers to continue to exercise caution and minimize time spent in the vicinity of US diplomatic and military interests for the reasons I just explained. If traveling outside of the main urban centers of Erbil and Sulaymaniyah, we advise travelers to receive itinerary-specific threat assessment as security support may be required. During our deployment to the Kurdistan region, we have conducted a road trip between Sulaymaniyah and Erbil, and we encountered a number of checkpoints along the route that were conducting thorough security checks of drivers. And enlisting a provider is therefore recommended to help navigate these checkpoints, to ensure the status of routes, and also to account for risks posed by weather conditions and road traffic accidents in mountainous areas, particularly. Because on a day-to-day basis, weather hazards and road traffic accidents actually pose a bigger threat on a daily basis to travelers rather than a threat of an airstrike or a drone strike. So for that purposes, we recommend enlisting a security provider, even if you travel throughout the medium risk areas of the Kurdistan region. And then specifically, if travelers intend to visit the border areas, which we designate as high risk, first of all, we advise to defer non-essential travel there, both to the border with Turkey and to the border with Iran, due to risks posed by airstrikes, which carry the risk of misidentification and miscalculation. Travel to these areas requires robust journey management planning and the support of a professional security provider.
And how are international SOS able to help our clients who are traveling to the area?
Of course, Chris. We have a robust network of both security and medical providers across the country, and then specifically in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. Our providers can support with a range of services, including with evacuation wherever needed. Security providers can also assist with travel across the Kurdistan region, including to the high-risk border areas if essential travel there is required. And whenever necessary, our security team provides risk assessments, updates on the current security situation in the region, as well as security recommendations and advice on the safety of movement in the region that our clients can always consult.
And with regards to the wider country, is that something we can assist with too?
Yes, absolutely. So we have the same robust capabilities that we have in the Kurdistan region, we have across the country, including in Baghdad and Basra.
Okay, Polina, thank you so much for all your analysis and advice. Well, that's all for now, but just a reminder that you'll be able to access all the latest information and updates on Iraq from our website at internationalsos.com. And from there, you can find out about our global network of assistance centres, available to clients 24/7. But until next time, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.